God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world and remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Quick statement about the Oscars. Not my words, but from a great Twitter account. It calls itself Church Curmudgeon. Happy Oscar night, where we get to watch people who glorify disobedience, adultery, murder, theft, and lying as they covet a golden idol while they lecture us about morality. Oh, I didn't watch either. Why would I? Just thought that was a great way to put it. In fact, that's interesting. You know, you could turn that towards the State of the Union. Happy State of the Union night, where we get to watch the supposed head of a political party that is making disobedience in the classroom policy, adultery policy, murder policy, theft policy, and he was lying continually as they covet the idol of human power and lecture us about morality. It's almost a match, isn't it, though? I don't usually watch presidential speeches or political speeches at all because I choose not to be drawn in by personality. I'd rather read them. I don't want to be taken in by liking a politician because a lot of times that's an act, the liking part. I bet politicians who are actually very, very likable. I was just recording my podcast, was recalling running into Marco Rubio in an airport, D.C. Reagan, and just having a talk. Couldn't have been a more ordinary guy. There are people like that. But on stage, it's so often an act. And in the case, though, of figurehead Biden, I did have to watch good portions of it. I, like all of a sudden, a lot of people on the conservative side believe he's drugged when he gives speeches like that. Now, there's probably liberals who believe that too, but they're duty-bound to not say it, right? John Dickerson is a political analyst for CBS News. He gave some analysis post-speech. He then later went on with Stephen Colbert, who's a funny, funny comedian, so funny. And they talked about the figurehead speech. And it was Dickerson who said it re-knit the bonds of what he calls democracy. Fascinating. So a figurehead leader who signs off on having a man arrested and charged with three misdemeanors for an emotional outburst as the great man was reading from his teleprompter is rekindling and reknitting the ties of democracy in a republic that is not a democracy. Got it. There are psychiatrists and psychologists who are saying that man looked drugged. There are psychologists and psychiatrists saying nothing, and some who are saying, no, it's just the moment. But John Dickerson, this political analyst for CBS News, said something that I don't even think he knows is fascinating. He said that the White House issued a statement ahead of the figurehead's teleprompter reading session that said it's going to be a fiery speech. Wow, you know what? Many members of the Mockingbird media said it was a fiery speech. I just did a podcast this morning, which you can get by opening up any podcast app on your phone. look for the old man with the gray beard. I meant old, but mid-50s, gray beard. It's called The Todd Herman Show. And you can see or listen to, as the case may be, a podcast describing how we can use the nexus of the COVID response and the banning of the Hunter Biden story to investigate the Mockingbird media for how tightly they're coordinated with the White House and intelligence services and the National Institute of Health. I've come to believe that they're adjuncts. It's not biased. They're doing their jobs. They're adjuncts of the White House and the intelligence services, the deep state, as it were. After all, the Mockingbird media aligned their teleprompters as they read the approved scripts and what was probably a drugged figurehead, Biden, what he was caused to say on Thursday. CBS talks of fire in the belly and coming out swinging.
The president has the energy, the fire in the belly to serve another 4 years.
An animated President Biden came out of the gate swinging.
The View said it was incredible.
As someone who deals depression, anxiety, I don't need anyone else to tell me gloom and doom and we're one step from burning in hell because I already feel that way some days. Mm-hmm. So I need a leader that will call me and say, step up, we can do this together.
NBC found the figurehead feisty and funny.
President Biden delivering a mix of energy, humor, combativeness, as well as plenty of ad-libs directed at his Republican critics.
And as I mentioned earlier, CBS's John Dickerson and funny, funny comedian and pharma rep, Stephen Colbert, said the figurehead reknit the bonds of what they call our democracy.
This speech given in that place, in that marble hall that was attacked, re-knits those bonds that were torn up on the 6th.
Huh. We'll talk about that in a second. ABC News said the figurehead was tough, fiery, feisty, and rowdy.
This was a feisty speech that at times felt more like a rowdy campaign event.
The fiery President Biden kicking off the general election.
Now, what was it that the White House said the speech would be? Fiery. And so it was. What was it that the CDC said about the COVID injections? Safe and effective. And that's exactly what the Mockingbird said. Remember when they were 100% effective? That's what the Mockingbird said. And then 95% effective, and that's what the Mockingbird said. Then they were no longer effective at stopping transmission or infection. They admitted that briefly. And then they were 100% effective at stopping serious illness to undefinable terms. Well, serious illness being undefinable. Then there was the election. A moment after the election was announced that figurehead Biden had miraculously caught up overnight at 4:30 in the morning in five states where they had stopped counting but didn't stop counting, that it was the safest, most secure election in history. And the Mockingbird media said, it's the safest, most secure election in history. When we decided to finally push the kleptocratic thug that he is, Putin, into defending the country he runs, and he does run it by putting a NATO country on their doorstep, the same thing the figurehead, when he was senator, warned us to not do unless we wanted a military response from Putin, suddenly the New York Times and every other media outlet discovered that Ukraine is a vital strategic partner to the United States of America. The New York Times, who had written about the Nazi problem in Ukraine, they literally wrote an article talking about the real live for real Nazi problem in Ukraine, suddenly turned around and told us that Ukraine is one of the most important democracies in the world. When January 6th occurred, we had the instant announcement that it was, first they tried coup, that didn't land, and then it was an insurrection. Unarmed, but still an insurrection. They never say the part about unarmed. There's a new phrase. You saw the debate over the figurehead referring to the man who killed or allegedly killed Laken Riley as an illegal. Have you seen the new phrase? Newcomer. For illegal murder, so newcomers. Guess what? Many in the Mockingbird media agree. These are newcomers. They used to be illegal immigrants, and they were undocumented immigrants. Then they were undocumented workers. Now they're newcomers. I've come to believe that the Mockingbird media on high are probably paid to do what they do via government sources. But that would never happen. They would never do that. And yet, entire hospital systems were bribed, legitimately bribed, to not warn people about the side effects, known side effects of the mRNA injections. And once they got those monies, they were told, hey, if someone comes in here and says they've been injured by these, you're not to agree. If you do agree, we're going to take that money back from you. We also have, of course, the money laundering to what are called NGOs, non-governmental organizations, that are being used to cause an invasion of our country. So they'd do that, but they wouldn't pay the Mockingbirds to stay in lockstep with them. Well, how could they? They'd get caught. We'd track that money down. Really? The money that goes to the intelligence services, we'd track that down? How? They don't have to tell us. Through the CDC, how would we track it? The CDC, under pressure, just released a very important, I believe it's about 150-page report on the COVID, on the COVID injections. Every single page is redacted. Every word of every page is redacted. But hey, they released the report. Oh, I mentioned the NGOs that are participating in this invasion of our country via tax dollars. You're paying for this. Bill Hagerty, this is from J.D. Vance. Senator Hagerty forced a vote on an amendment in the Senate. This amendment would have done something very important. It would have ensured that illegal aliens do not count in the census count. They can't be used to build congressional representation. Every single Democrat said, no. We want illegal immigrants, newcomers, to count towards congressional representation. So it's not just 20 seats in Congress that are there because of illegal immigrants. We want it to be 30, 40, 50, just as long as they're Democrat districts. But they would never do that, and they're doing it. When the Mockingbird media chose to start taking government monies to promote the injections, they became, in my judgment, joint state actors. Particularly as they censored and called disinformation everything they were told to do. We have the investigations of technology companies. I think we have everything we need to have investigations of media companies. And by the way, you want to send me a congressional subpoena? Please. On how I do the show, this show or my podcast, please, I beg you, do it. I'd love to have that conversation because after all, I was told when I was working in local media, you can't say things like you don't get to criticize ABC News, just specific stories. It's one of the reasons I went independent. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Oftentimes, people will ask me, what's the end game after they trans kids? Well, there is no after, because it's an evolving movement. The lie of transgenderism is the beginning of something. It is not the end. It is not an end game. And you can choose to view this, if you like, as a secular issue or a sin issue, a greed issue. Those things are true. There's no such thing as a secular issue, in that we are all made by God in His image. And we make a decision. We align ourselves with God or we don't. And unless we align ourselves with God, that is agreeing that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, born to take away our sins, accepting Him as Lord and Savior, as our Messiah, then acting that way, signifying it with baptism, allowing then the Holy Spirit to change us from within. If we take that step, then we align with God, and that's an eternal decision. If we refuse to take that step, that's also eternal. So what's the end game? What if I told you that the end game is babies born without any womb, born and gestated in plastic? What, am I going to quote Aldous Huxley? Brave New World? No, but good point. I think God blesses certain people to be able to see certain things coming, Aldous Huxley amongst them. Part of the Brave New World's plot was babies were gestated that way, because after all, it was filthy to do it the old way, preferable to do it the new way. So the fact is that every technology ever invented has been mechanized for wars over geographic areas. So why would infotech or biotech be any different? The change is the battlefield is now the virtual versus the biological world, them versus your humanity, them versus God's design for people made in His image. Now that's me, and you know, I'm obviously a right-wing radical and clearly a white nationalist something or other and orange Hitler, and although I'm not that orange. But what if I could quote someone who's a big, big fan of transhumanism and of the sexual left? Well, luckily I can. There's a guy called Zoltan Istvan. He was writing at the Huffington Post way back in 2015, and give him credit for seeing this. After all, Satan's smart. Headline: the future of the LGB so-called T movement may involve transhumanism. In the future, transhumanist technology and science will complement the LGB so-called T movement and help push it forward in the face of continued social oppression and closed-mindedness. So let's pause there. Obviously now, there is no oppression of anyone who pretends to be, any man who pretends to be a woman is never oppressed, ever, in America. In fact, they run things. We're not allowed to criticize them. You're not even allowed to say you're actually not a woman in many states. His piece reads, his part, this: the other night, my wife and I were reading our four-year-old daughter a children's book that we borrowed from the public library. We came to a section where two characters, both of whom were the same sex, began having romantic feelings for each other. My wife and I smiled. We have many good LGB so-called T friends. So their four-year-old, they're excited that that four-year-old's being shown this. And then they go on to quote, to talk about Tim Cook, Apple CEO. And he's openly gay, same-sex attracted. And they excitedly state, he does, that the coming changes to our nation's views on sexuality and human nature. And then he writes this: it shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone that the LGB so-called T movement and transhumanism have a lot in common. Nearly all transhumanists support the LGBT cause, so-called T. After all, a desire to be free, to alter, express, and control one's sexual preference and identity sounds like a transhumanist concept. Advocates of transhumanism aim to alter, express, and control their bodies and preferences too, except they emphasize doing it with science and tech. If you look closely at the two movements, especially some of their major philosophies, are practically different sides of the same coin, each poised to gain strength from one another in the future as radical technologies transform the species. And he goes on to state that we're going to see these massive changes over the next 25 years, much more so than happened in 100,000 years. He touts artificial hearts being better than real hearts, telepathy being better. An important part of communication is we have chips installed in our brain. Of course, Elon Musk is installing chips in people's brains. It's when he gets around to talking about what they truly believe as transhumanists that I hope that you will sit up and take keen interest. Again, quoting this piece. The million-dollar question regarding these technologies is whether we'll be allowed to freely use them. After all, the United States is basically made up of all religious politicians, some whose face derive from texts that forbid anything like LGBT so-called T practices or transhumanism. Transhumanists' main goal are to overcome mortality and to become as free and powerful as possible using technology. In essence, to become godlike. What's the end game? A species of people who aren't human. No longer made in God's image. An army. Completely unconnected from the vine. That's the end game. To be godlike. Oh, like the Garden of Eden. Remember this. The Bible begins in a garden and ends in a garden. Back to this piece. For ages now, society has largely been afraid of transformation, especially when it concerns the human body or sexuality. Even today, a dozen states will have anti-sodomy laws, and LGBT so-called T people are often killed in places around the world. He is connecting transhumanism with, oh my gosh, the abuse. But it's this last piece that I hope you'll hear and really, really internalize and pray over. The world is shifting under our feet, says B.J. Murphy, a pansexual transhumanist, writer, and futurist. In 15 years, conservatives and so-called anti-gay people will look back at the LGBT so-called T movement and yearn for an adversary so simple in its demands. I'm pausing from the article to agree with B.J. Murphy. The demands are just speak our pronouns. The demands in the future will be, hey, if you don't want the chip installed in your brain, that's fine. You can have 1/1,000,000th the processing time that we do. We're going to know all the languages, never have to learn them, and you won't. We're going to live forever, and you're going to die. We can transact business in modern society. You can't. That's going to happen. Satan is doing everything in reverse. When the tongues of fire came down and touched the apostles so they could be heard in all the many languages, all the many tongues, one of the promises of transhumanism is the chip installed in your mind will give you access to all the world's languages without the bother of having to learn them. Everything he's doing is the Bible in reverse, including the fake lie of immortality. Now, your soul's eternal. People who make these choices will be making an eternal choice. So back to this article from B.J. Wright, or pardon me, this quote from B.J. Murphy in this piece from the Huffington Post, again, way back in 2015. The writer of the piece, Zoltan Istvan, also agrees that B.J. Murphy is right. He says, B.J. Murphy is right. The future will be anything but simple. Already within 2 decades' time, parents may choose to have designer babies without certain sexual organs. Is a uterus necessary if you have ectogenesis, use of artificial wombs? Or does it just present extra cancer risk? And for some, decades of painful, cramping menstrual cycles. Do you hear this? The birth process that God designed, yeah, it was going to have pain. He told us that in the Garden of Eden. Because of your decision, childbirth is going to be painful. Not if you become inhuman. Not if your baby is gestated in a plastic box. That's preferable to the old way, says this author. Alternatively, will some religions encourage some males to be born with genetically lowered sex drives so they may have a better chance at becoming a celibate priest, a shrinking vocation in the U.S.? Hope not. Finally, will some seemingly narcissistic people procreate only through cloning techniques? The bizarre questions of the transhumanist age seem endless, and they're already being asked by a growing number of people. And so-called transgenderism is a bridge into this. What's the end game? A long path that's narrow, that most people can't walk. What's the end game? People who can't have babies, who must turn to medical science and Satan's design for it. That's the near end game. Of course, the end game itself is eternal decision. Do you want to be with God or not? A very, very important writer who has done more to uncover the lies of transgenderism than most other writers will ever dream of doing is named Jennifer Billick. Long before Matt Walsh and What Is a Woman, Jennifer Billick was doing the hard lifting. She's the author of one of the most important pieces in the world about what Oregon did to build a so-called transgender empire. She has a piece on Substack, a publication called Reality's Last Stand. I encourage you to find it, Reality's Last Stand on Substack. Headline, "The gay rights movement has been hijacked by a radical transhumanist agenda. Transgenderism is a word acting as a social bridge between transsexualism and transhumanism." Part of her piece here. So-called transgenderism is an offshoot of both these words, transsexualism and transgenderism. It's used to appeal now to a youthful market. It's a harbinger of the genetic and technological manipulations we're being conditioned to accept via transhumanism, obscured by co-opting the familiar branding of a wildly successful human rights movement. She goes through the numbers. She's great at tracking the money. The assisted reproductive market is currently $26 billion, projected to reach $41 billion by 2030. It's being invested in by many of the same elites who are investing in the gender industry and in the medical tech sector. There's already human rights or political infrastructures for this. And remember, in the separate country of Washington, you can purchase babies in bulk. Right now, you have to fly the mother with the host womb or mothers, 18 or 20 at a time, into the separate country of Washington. They gestate the babies there. You have to visit once, but you do not need a background check. When those babies are born, you fly back, you pick up all 18, 20, 30 babies, and you leave after you pay the fee. That's already happening. Why have mothers involved when all you need is a plastic box? Come pick up your baby. It's cooked. Jennifer Billick's piece again. The first, quote, gender bill was cultivated by a group of men with transvestic fetishism in the early 90s. At least one of these men, Martin Rothblatt, has undergone sexual transsexual surgery, a misnomer since no one can actually change their sex. He's a transhumanist. No one has yet transitioned from human either. Owns a biopharmaceutical company, an exotransplantation farm for harvesting animal organs to transplant into humans, a 3D organ printing corporation, and has created a robot of his wife. Rothblatt worked on the Human Genome Project at the UN level and created a technological religion called TerraSim. He's the creator of Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Rothblatt is highly renowned in technological, political, and business circles. He's written about the necessity of overriding the process of categorizing men and women by their biology and believes that sexual dimorphism is tantamount to South African apartheid. Sexual dimorphism is having babies by a man and a wife becoming, well, or a male and female, engaging in sexual union, or if you want to use God's phrase, becoming one flesh, and a baby being gestated in the womb. Rothblatt has written extensively on the future of reproduction via technology and transgressing our species boundaries. Rothblatt was tutored into transhumanism by Ray Kurzweil of Google, a company investing in the gender industry on various fronts while it collects our data. So what is the end game? The end game is to remove the human component as much as possible from the creation of the species. The end game is getting Satan as close to possible as having an army of bodies as close as he can get to not being made in the image of God. That's the end game. Well, almost the end, because the end is an eternal decision. God, of course, has seen all this coming, knows about all of it. And some good news here, they can't create DNA. They can mimic it. But they'd only be reshifting God's design. And if you know people who've given in and had their bodies mutilated, God's anxious to take them back. After all, when we make mistakes, take it to the cross, God says he forgets we even did it. We'll come back on the Disciples View. Thank you for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. If you had told me, let me think, 6 years ago that on a national radio network, the size and scope of AFR, that I'd be sitting here discussing medical science being abused in a satanic plot, I would have laughed at you. But that was before being discipled. And something happened to me, something that I was warned about. I was warned after I turned my local radio show into much more discussion of God. And that happened because God shamed me, convicted me, because I was hosting Rush Limbaugh's program, God Rest Rush, one of the hundreds of times that I did that. The very first time I did that, I got to my knees and prayed for God's strength and thank you, God, for this opportunity. And God really convicted me later, saying, wow, I gave you your own radio show all this time. You never thanked me. But with Rush Limbaugh's show, you thank me? Wow. So my producer, Alex, and I began praying before each show. He's a great, great servant of the Lord. And becoming discipled, and that is actively seeking to become more like Jesus, actively seeking to have the Holy Spirit drive decisions in me, even decisions that I know are going to emotionally crush me. I'm dealing with something now in sense of friendship that I know is going to crush me. But I have no choice but to proceed. When that happened, I began to see things in a spiritual sense, and probably you're the same. But I started to rethink things in a spiritual sense. And I truly believe that this end stage, we just talked in the last segment, what is the end game of transing these kids? And the end game being babies now no longer gestated in the womb the way God designed, but in plastic boxes and just completely destroying the family from the very beginning, having babies born without sexual organs because that's what parents want. They're not even parents at that point. They're whatever you want to call them. I really believe that that army that Satan wants to build, he wants it to be as opposite to God's design as possible, and medical technology is the way to get there. So it's great news when there's great news in terms of dealing with the medical technocrats. After all, what we just discussed, all this transing of kids and these medical devices being installed in people's brains and that, that's all headed our way. But why do all of that when you could just give someone a shot and change what they are? The fact that so many of the COVID injections contained DNA is, in my judgment, further proof that this was a massive, massive test of what happens on the broadest test of medical tech in history. I predict we're going to see that it changed the human genome in people who had DNA in their shots, which will eventually change the human genome full stop. Why go through all the surgeries, all that mess, all that travel, when you can just inject people? This is why I beg you to have great skepticism about the medical establishment that's been captured, just like all so many other establishments. This is a piece from Vigilant News, Zachary Strieber. Proposed legislation introduced on March 5 would strip COVID-19 so-called vaccine manufacturers of liability protections, enabling U.S. residents injured by the injections to sue the companies. Proposed by Chip Roy of Texas, it would retroactively remove protections from the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. No federal law may make the manufacturer of a COVID-19 so-called vaccine immune from suit or liability, or limit the liability of such a manufacturer with respect to those claims of loss caused by, arising out of, relating to, or resulting from the administration or the use by an individual of the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, there's great reason to believe this could, this should pass. It won't, but it should. Here's why. No one in America has ever been injected with a concoction that was given the emergency use authorization. Not a single human being. They switched products. The product you were injected with was never given an emergency use authorization. Now, this is not going to pass, but it's great to see that Chip Roy is bringing it up, because at least it brings some visibility to this. The reason it's not going to pass, in my judgment, is because far too many politicians are absolutely paid off by pharma. On this program, we do something that might seem counterintuitive. We thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And there's a lot of other, for example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to... For example, I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the global warming bill anyway.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that I think back up my notion that God does place these people into these influential positions so we can go, wow, there's nothing all that special about them. Nope, they're human just like us. If figurehead Biden actually knew the Lord Jesus, maybe what he said on a hot mic wouldn't be as awkward.
I told him,
I know that's hard to discern on radio. It says, Biden said, I told him, BB, and don't repeat this, but you and I are going to have a come to Jesus meeting. I'm going to, the staff said, you're on a hot mic, sir. I'm on a hot mic here. Good, good. That's good. If there was any sign that figurehead Biden knew the Lord Jesus, that would be one thing. There's like a come to Jesus meeting in actuality, but no, it's just misusing the Lord's name. This is further sign of where Biden's at. Second soundbite at today's Tower Babbling. A probably drugged figurehead couldn't say Lake and Riley's name correctly, and so he apologized for calling her accused murderer and illegal.
But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that his, the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing, we have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So illegal immigrants built this country. Huh. I didn't know that. Did you? Secondly, I don't remember President Trump saying they pollute the blood. He said some really harsh words in relation to the people coming across the southern border. There's no doubt. Sometimes President Trump uses truly crude and horrific language. He does. I wish that he would get better at speaking truth and grace. I wish I would get better at speaking truth and grace. It's factual, though, that the cartels are sending cartel members across our border to move drugs and human beings in sex trafficking, little babies. That's a true fact. And we've got to secure our border. Well, the figurehead, if he wants to invoke the name of Jesus, he might want to ask forgiveness for helping to turn a blind eye, in fact, to help enable one of the biggest sex trafficking operations in the history of the globe. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Chucky Schumer and Nancy Pelosi used to say illegal immigrant because it was accurate. Notice how they've changed over time.
When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration, which the American people overwhelmingly oppose.
Now, you should have said undocumented, but that's not a big thing, okay? Well, we usually say undocumented. Uh-huh. He said illegal. I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay.
I don't think it's a big deal.
American people are fundamentally pro-legal immigration and anti-illegal immigration. If you don't think it's illegal, you're not going to say it. I think it is illegal and wrong, and we have to change it.
Fascinating how times change. I wonder what changed. Math, and someone somewhere said, you know, we can't seem to get rid of the Electoral College because that would require a constitutional amendment that's not going to happen for a long time, if ever. So why don't we just destroy it? Why don't we burn it down? Oh, you know, that's funny. At an event with a bunch of medical technocrats sitting around talking about forcing genetic devices into our bodies via injection instead of actual vaccines with dead portions of the virus. You know what one of the participants said? Why don't we burn it down? Talking about the American medical industry, why don't we burn it down? I think they said the same thing about the Electoral College. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him in.
On a Disciple's View.
I can't believe I can still laugh at that. It's not the figurehead I'm laughing at. It's that we're to pretend this is all very, very normal. I often wrap up the show with a personal observation, and probably I'll stop telling you that since it's now, I've explained it a bunch of times. I do it because I want you to know a little bit about the rodeo clown who hosts the show. I made this decision that I'm trying to channel excitement from worry. I made the decision to go attend something late this year, not attend, participate in something called Seal Fit. It is a small version of Hell Week. That Navy SEALs go through, really small. They go through a full 6 or 7 days. We go through 50 hours. Now, you don't sleep. You work out constantly. If you're not working out, you're doing drills. We're not playing soldier. We're not doing shooting drills or anything like that. You do classroom work from time to time. You don't sleep unless you can grab some Z's after you eat real quick or while you're laying in ocean water. People fall asleep doing leg raises and flutter kicks sometimes. So I will be 57 by the time I step onto that campus. I've already put the money in and I can't get it back. And it's a good portion of God's money. My why? It's to honor the desire God gave me to want to go through hard work like this. To honor the body he's loaned me. To honor a friend of mine, a SEAL who lost his life. And for an opportunity to cap off, in a way, a long time having built a decent level of fitness for my age, because God whispered in my ear recently, this is your last year really doing this. Okay, I'm not happy about that, but that's what I heard him say. I started reading the book that they suggest you read. In fact, they tell you if you want to succeed, you will read it and do everything it says. It's called 8 Weeks to SEAL Fit. And as I read it and read the workouts, they're doable. The beginning workouts are doable right now, although I've just had this shoulder surgery. It's the ending workouts that I need to be at by the time I walk on that campus that don't really have me concerned, except I don't think I can do it alone. I don't think I can do this in solo workouts. Jokingly, I said to a friend of mine who I don't know well, he runs the physical therapy clinic where I got a lot of work done. I talked to him from time to time. He's an elder at my church. And I just was joking. I said, hey, David, I need some help, man. And he stopped what he's doing. He goes, what do you need? I said, oh, I was kind of kidding. You know, I signed up for this thing, SEAL Fit, and I feel like I just need someone to do the workouts with me. He goes, okay. He goes, I probably can't do all of them. And I don't know how much time I could commit, and you work a lot harder at fitness than I do, but I'm in. Really? You said you needed help. And I do. What would this be like if God's whole design here was to help me with my three prayer words? See, I thought my three prayer words for the year were going to be humility, obedience, and joy. And God said, no, wrong words. Humility, patience, and love. Well, it's humbling to say, I can't do this alone. It's also humbling to have to learn to love properly at the age of 56 and to be loved. In the beginning was the Word was with God. Until God decides you and I can speak again together, may His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.